You're listening to The Tales We Tell, a podcast about spooky stories, unsolved mysteries, and local lore. I'm your host, Hannah Parch.
And I'm Katie.
Welcome back! Post-quarantine!
Yeah. It's safe here now.
Oh, yes. I will tell that story after our
sommelier,
Jarek, introduces our wine for the night.
All right. This time I picked up Seven Moons. It's a dark side red blend from California, and it dates back from 2017, a year before...
Vintage.
Years before COVID, so... It says, discover the dark side. Seven Moons Dark Side Red Blend celebrates the phases of the moon by combining seven grape varietals into a dark, rich red blend with a lush, mouthful, uncorked pour, and enjoy by the moonlight.
Or the... or the neon.
Or the neon light. Sign that says, recording or on the air.
So, yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, because I don't think we posted about it, Jarek had COVID, and we had to be quarantined over Christmas, and it was horrible.
I mean, it kind of worked out with our recording schedule, because, yeah. You know, you're both fine, yours came back negative, you're in the clear.
We had a moment where we thought we were going to remote record.
And we probably still will, because, I mean, it's... There's still the likelihood, especially with the new strain, and, you know.
Just give me the vaccine.
Shelton is getting his on Wednesday.
Oh, I'm jealous. Well, yeah. So, we were in isolation for 10 days total, because Jarek got quarantined 2 days before Christmas, and then I waited, because I was being selfish, I waited until the 26th to get tested. My rapid was negative, so then I had to isolate from Jarek in our house, which meant that we spent the Christmas holidays sleeping in separate bedrooms and, like, not being in the same room together. But then my PCR, that came back negative. So I'm free to go back to work, which I've never been more excited to go back to work. I missed a whole week. And I mean, I didn't miss that, but, like, I'm ready for human interaction again.
See, I'm ready, but I'm not ready. Like, I feel, like, rested and, like, rejuvenated and ready for work. But also, like, I like to do the a bowl full of lemons, 12-week home organization challenge. So, like, each week is a different room where you, like, totally reorganize and deep clean.
Right.
And I love doing it. And so this year, the first week was laundry room, and I've been wanting to do a big project in the laundry room and finally got it started. And so I'm just like, I'd like to just stay home a few more weeks and do house projects and cleaning.
You just need 12 weeks off.
That's what I need.
Okay, so...
Well, since it's going to be a long episode and a while before dinner, before we get into announcements, I did bring us a treat.
You did? What is it?
I picked up today some Moki.
This.
We did.
Yay.
So this is taro Moki. It's not as good as, like, Moki ice cream.
Okay. I was about to say, don't oversell it.
But I didn't get, you know, I almost got sesame seed, and I was like, I should get red bean. That would be funny.
So. I don't know that I would know the difference. Were you just, did you have that in your purse? Or
okay. And I snuck it in
here. I didn't see your purse, and I was like, did you just pull that out of nowhere?
No, pulled it out of my purse over there, snuck it in here, and hid it behind the cabinet for you.
Great. I have not been paying attention.
Well, you can do announcements and other stuff while I fight with this thing.
Okay. Well, our big announcement, which is happening tonight as you are listening...
If you listen on the day this comes out.
If you listen on Wednesday. As we're announcing the winner for our giveaway. So, Jarek's been wanting to do this giveaway for a long time. So, our first giveaway, I think we did, like, a t-shirt. And,
and goodie
like
bag.
Like, some stickers or whatever. So, for this giveaway, obviously we're going to do a ton of stickers because we just always have a lot of those. And I actually just ordered more from wherever we got them from. So we're gonna do a bunch of stickers. There's gonna be like a little goodie bag, and then per Jarek, whoever wins, gets to pick whatever they want from our Redbubble store. Like, one item, not, mm-hmm. like, a whole bunch.
Yeah, a hoodie or a blanket or a notebook, whatever you want. We'll get it and send it to you.
Yep. So, it's a big, yeah, it's potentially, like, a $40 or $50 value. So, the rules are you have to find the post that we made on Instagram. What's our Instagram, Katie?
The Tales We Tell podcast.
Perfect. There's a post on there announcing the giveaway. You need to like, follow, comment where you tag three friends, and then as a bonus entry, if you comment your favorite episode, you get an extra entry.
And I think we said too that every person that you tag is an extra entry. It puts your name in the hat one more time.
Yes, we just made up that rule now. So I'll put something. It's a good one. It is a good one. So we have some loyal listeners who have already entered, which I love.
I know. I've enjoyed going and seeing what everyone's favorite episodes have been.
I know. And I'm happy because last time we asked people, like, what their favorite episodes were, everyone was picking the Tell We Tales. And I was like, I'm a little bit offended. but now they are picking ones that I did and researched, which, surprisingly, the two that I've noticed are the two most gruesome ones, Albert Fish and Torso Murders. Yep. So people like the gory, mm-hmm. which, good for them. I mean, I do too, unfortunately. This is not going to be a gory episode. Anyways, enter the con... Whatever. Cut all this part out and we'll... I don't know how to transition. Okay, so...
Is it story time?
Story time.
I think it's Moki time, and then it's story time.
Also, the drawing is going to happen tonight at 7, I think.
Eastern.
Eastern. Sorry, Eastern time. I wrote it on the calendar. That's why I had to look. All right.
So, for those of you who recall or maybe don't recall, mm-hmm. The Namahage in Japan... When they go to, you know, house to house, asking if there's any naughty children around, the actors are rewarded with a piece of moki. And I wasn't able to very accurately or eloquently describe what moki is. Mm-hmm. So I went to our local Asian grocery store and restaurant today. Ooh. I mean, we went there for lunch, and I was like, oh, look, there's moki. I need to bring some for the podcast. So we're going to do a little... tasting. This is taro flavored, T-A-R-O.
What is that?
It's a root of some sort.
Okay.
But cheers.
Cheers. Hmm.
It's just like a chewy, like, dough around a, like, a kind of chewy, creamy filling. It's not overly sweet, but they do have sweeter flavors, like with moki ice cream. They've got strawberry, mango...
It does have a rooty rooty taste. It's almost like a sweet potato.
That's good. I think it's because they make like those, you know, rare or like those weird potato chips that they're actually like parsnips and sweet potatoes and taro.
This is interesting.
And it's a little sweet treat, but it's not very sweet.
Yeah.
Certainly not overwhelmingly so.
It's very doughy. You know what it reminds me of? Not in any way because it resembles it. I think just because of the texture and because it's a foreign treat that I don't understand. It reminds me of Turkish Delight.
Well, yeah. So I like Turkish Delight.
I've never had it.
They have it at Publix.
Stop.
It's in the international section with the British foods.
Okay.
Along with wine gummies.
This is a game. I'm sorry. Wine gummies? Katie, how long have we been doing this podcast? You haven't told me about this?
I'll bring them next time.
Bring some Turkish Delight or I'll just go there. I was driving around today simply for the pleasure of driving because I also, gentle listeners, got a new car because while we were quarantined, actually on the day I got my test, my car died, and then the following day, Jarek's car died, so we had to buy a car without leaving our house, which is possible, but not recommended.
And also a little bit easier to do if you have a working printer.
Yes.
And you don't have to have someone else print things for you and then deliver those things to you.
I was over here, I was sitting on the floor in here, the printer on the floor, praying over my printer. I was like, I just need to print 3 pages. That's all I need. Okay.
So that was a fun little show and tell thing. Treat.
That'll hold me over until burgers. And it's sweet enough that it goes good with red wine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you ready?
Let's do this.
Okay. So, I'm calling this episode The Watcher. This is an unsolved mystery that's fairly recent. And my main source, slash really my only source, is an article from The Cut, which I think is a New York Times publication. I meant to look that up.
Okay.
It's The Cut.
I've heard of it, but I don't know its origin.
I mean, it was a really well-researched, very thorough article. So, that's what this is. So, this is a story of the Brodus family. And I'm guessing on the pronunciation. Brodus is spelled B-R-O-A-D-D-U-S. Maybe Brodus?
Yeah, maybe Brodus. But okay.
So, the members of the family are Derek and Maria. They're the parents. Derek is 40 when this takes place. Maria, I'm assuming, is around the same age. And they have 3 kids who are unnamed. Their ages are 10, 8, and 5. So, some background. Maria grew up in Westfield, New Jersey. And Derek grew up in Maine as, like, a working... Like, he grew up in a working-class family. He worked his way up the corporate ladder and eventually became the senior VP at an insurance company in Manhattan.
Swanky.
Yeah, I know. So, because they're swanky, in 2014, they were able to purchase their dream home in Westfield, New Jersey. So Maria always wanted to live close to where she grew up. Mm-hmm. They found this beautiful house. It's a 6-bedroom house.
Wow.
In the heart of Westfield. They purchased it for about $1.3 million. And I will post a picture of this house. You can go on, I think you can go on Zillow and look at the pictures of it. It is beautiful. Not really a house that I would raise like a 5-year-old in, but whatever. So it was.
Why? Is it just because it's so big? Or
it's just very nice. Oh. Like, it's one of those houses that you're like, some of these rooms are just for show. Like, they're not rooms you actually live in.
Gotcha.
So it was a few blocks from where Maria grew up. The address was 657 Boulevard. And Boulevard was, like, kind of the main swanky street in Westfield. I think someone had said, like, if you live on the Boulevard, you've made it. Like, it's got all the nice homes. They called it the Boulevard.
Well, yeah, because it's not like it's Boulevard Boulevard.
Yeah.
It's Boulevard Street, Boulevard
Drive.
It's kind
of weird. I'm imagining it's, like, Main Street. And the house was built in 1905. So it's just one of those pretty, like, your house is old and pretty.
Mm-hmm.
When's your house built?
1910.
Like, oh, hoo-hoo. So, like, it's got that old charm and whatever. So, Westfield, New Jersey, a lot of residents would compare it to Mayberry, which, fun.
I've actually been there.
I mean, have, too.
Not Mayberry, because that's not real, that's but Mount Airy.
Yes. So, I was going to say, my fun fact, Mayberry is based off Andy Griffith's hometown, which is Mount Airy, North Carolina.
There's not a ton there. There is the Andy Griffith Museum.
Yes.
It is near Shelton Vineyards.
Ooh.
And, which is in Virginia.
Okay.
And, that's an interesting winery to visit. And there's, I think it's like Granite City Tap Room or something. Yeah. It's a great little tap room. They're probably an actual brewery by now. That's something they were working on when we were there. And then I feel like there's a good thing of food. No, maybe not.
Jarek helped me when Jarek and I first started dating. Actually, one of the first trips that we went. Actually, I think the first time he met my parents.
Uh-huh.
I was a bridesmaid in one of my best friend's weddings, and she lives in or her parents live in Mount Airy, and she had asked me to go to Mount Airy because she lives in Colorado, and taste test different pizza places to figure out which place should cater the wedding. So I took Jarek, my parents are on the way, So I took this new boy that I was dating and introduced him to my parents.
Some guy.
And then we drove up to Mount Airy and tried pizza together. So
the only pizza we had in Mount Airy came from, a Domino's delivered to our hotel. But, I mean, we were there for the night because we were on our way up to Shelton Vineyards.
Oh, yeah. There's not a lot there.
Which is in North Carolina, not Virginia.
Oh.
It's just near-ish there.
A lot of things are near Virginia. Okay, so back to Westfield, New Jersey. There's about 30,000 residents. It is about a 45-minute drive from New York City. So Derek's working in Manhattan. They wanted a quiet. They didn't want to live in the city. It's mostly families, mostly wealthy, mostly considered very safe. Mm-hmm. It's 86% white. And according to this article in The Cut, which was written in 2018, one of the most pressing issues in the town were things like the Trader Joe's closed. And
neighbor would never pick up its dog's poop.
Yes. Quote, unconstitutional policing, which was their way of complaining about aggressive parking tickets. So it's a small, wealthy...
Waspy.
Yeah. This is the kind of town it's in. So, the Broaddus's are excited, bought their dream house. They're doing a lot of renovations on the house before they move in. So, 3 days after they actually closed, Derek's at the house, he's doing some painting. And, let's see, I already said that they were doing construction. So it was kind of late in the evening, he's finishing up. He decides to check the mail before he leaves. And among some of the bills that they were already getting, he found a white envelope that had no return address. And it was addressed to the new owners. So
he probably thought it was one of the neighbors.
A friendly,
welcoming, hey, whenever you get moved in and settled, come over and, join us for a cocktail hour.
Well, so this is where I will go ahead and say the Broadduses have not released the actual letter.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, there's more than one.
I assume there will probably be more than one.
Yes. So they haven't released the full letters. So I kind of pieced together the bits that this article had published. So this isn't the full letter, it's just the parts that they've released. But it says, this is all, quote, "Dearest new neighbor at 657 Boulevard, allow me to welcome you to the neighborhood. How did you end up here? Did 657 Boulevard call to you with its force within? 657 Boulevard has been the subject of my family for decades now, and as it approaches its 110th birthday, I have been put in charge of watching and waiting for its second coming. My grandfather watched the house in the 1920s, and my father watched it in the 1960s. It is now my time. Do you know the history of the house? Do you know what lies within the walls of 657 Boulevard? Why are you here? I will find out. I see already that you have flooded 657 Boulevard with contractors so that you can destroy the house as it is supposed to be. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Bad move. You don't want to make 657 Boulevard unhappy. You have children. I have seen them. So far, I think there are three that I have counted. More on the way? Do you need to fill the house with the young blood I requested? Better for me. Was your old house too small for the growing family? Or was it greed to bring me your children? Once I know their names, I will call to them and draw them to me. Who am I? There are hundreds and hundreds of cars that drive by 657 Boulevard each day. Maybe I am in one. Look at all the windows you can see from 657 Boulevard. Maybe I am in one. Look out any of the many windows in 657 Boulevard at all the people who stroll by each day. Maybe I am one. Welcome, my friends. Welcome. Let the party begin." And it was signed, The Watcher.
The game is on. Oh, man.
It was a lot. And the thing is, that's not even the whole letter.
Really?
Yeah, that's just, pieces of it that they pieced together and, like, didn't publish the whole thing.
So, I mean, did they look into the history or did they talk to the previous owners and, like, hey, did you have somebody creepy lead any things? All right, I'm sorry. I'll stop asking questions. Just wait.
Okay. So, Derek reads the letter and, like a normal person, he's like, WTF. So he turns all the lights off in the house and calls the police. And so the police come to the house, they read the letter, and I think the quote was, what the fuck is this? And so whoever's there, the officer, he asks Derek, do you have any enemies? Like, do you know who, like, is this just out of the blue or whatever?
Yeah.
He kind of just advises him, like, well, just kind of be careful. There's a large piece of construction equipment on the porch, and he says maybe move that off of the porch so that someone doesn't throw it through the window. I don't know why that's the concern. Like, if I was a...
I mean, based on everything I know about this neighborhood, yeah, no, sure.
Yeah, sure. Like, because if there's not a large piece of equipment on the porch, they're not going to find another way. It's unclear if he actually filed a police report at this point.
I have a feeling he probably did it just as, like, a... just so it's on record that he contacted the police. And, you know, also kind of his way of saying if the police had had any other incidents... Yeah. Tied to this house because, I mean, he probably said, no, I don't have any enemies. And,
yeah.
Like, I've never been accosted in such a way before until we bought the house. So, like, I'm assuming it is related to the house in some way.
Yeah. So, he goes home. So, they have kept their current home for now. They're still living there while they finish the construction. So he goes home, he tells his wife. They don't tell the kids, obviously.
Yeah, why?
Yeah. And so they write an email to the previous owners, whose names are John and Andrea Woods. And they're like an older, retired couple. And they say, like...
empty nesters, needed to downsize.
Had a giant 6-bedroom house, you know. So they ask if they know anything about the Watcher. So Andrea replies the next day. She says, you know, we've lived here for 23 years. We lived in that house. We never felt unsafe. We never, like, had any weird letters. We never felt like we were being watched. She says, but a few days before we moved out, we did get a letter from this person. She said it had been kind of odd in the letter. He mentioned that his family had been watching the house, but it was kind of like thank you for taking such good care of this home. You know, like, sad to see you go, whatever. But it hadn't made her feel suspicious or uncomfortable or anything.
Well, I mean, you've been there for 23 years, and all of a sudden you're about to leave, and you get this one oddball
honestly thing. If I was about to leave, I'd be like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, go on, send more.
Yeah, like, oh, so someone's been watching us. Weird. Good thing we're leaving.
Oh, well. Yeah, like, who cares? So she had, like, thrown the letter away, hadn't thought anything of it. But she's, like, sympathetic to what's going on. So the Woodses go with the Broaddus's. By the way, all the names in this, I'm very annoyed with. They all end in S. To pluralize them. Oh, gosh. I wrote Broaddus's so much in this damn note-taking thing.
Say the Broaddus family.
Well, it's just Derek and Maria. Anyways, both couples go to the police together the next day. And they get assigned Detective Leonard Lugo, who looks over everything. And he says, don't tell anyone about the letters because all of your neighbors are now suspects. So, Derek and Maria are like, okay, great. I guess we'll just keep renovating this $1 million home.
Yeah. So, and people think I'm weird for, like, hating neighbors. I don't want neighbors.
Yeah. We know two of our neighbors so far. In a broad sense. One of them is very elderly. I'm pretty sure she can't hurt us. So, Derek and Maria just kind of proceed with caution. Derek had a business trip coming up. He canceled that so he could kind of stay close to home. Anytime they had the kids over at the new house, Maria would just, like, make sure she always knew where they were.
Right.
Wouldn't let them get out of sight or anything. And everything now seemed more suspicious to them.
Well, and especially since you know, like the kids, that part would freak me out more than like anything else in the letter or the letter itself. It's like, I don't want somebody to learn their names. And like, now you don't want your kids to like meet and get to know your neighbors. And, you know, because growing up, I knew my neighbors. Like, I would walk to my friend's house who lived, you know, 2.5 or 3 houses down. I would walk to her house all the time, and I'd, you know my other neighbors, and I'd stop and talk to them. And like, I don't think my parents ever really had much to worry about. We had a, you know, a nice upper middle class neighborhood, and well, not even upper, just middle class neighborhood.
I mean, how was us too? I mean, we would go out. I mean, which the older I get and like the more I think about, like, I was babysitting kids one time, and I think the oldest was like 9, and he could like ride his bike to the pool by himself. And I was like, but is that okay? Like, and I was thinking, I was like, yeah, I guess when I was like 8 or 9, I would just ride my bike around, you know, I'd be gone the whole day.
Yep.
And I just knew to come back when it got dark.
Yep.
But like, I don't know. I'm going to be a terrible helicopter parent.
Well, times have changed a lot now.
This is true. Also, I have a fenced-in yard. My kids can play in the fenced-in part and nowhere else. Okay, so things are looking suspicious. And, okay, so for example, Derek met some of the neighbors. He was giving them a tour of, like, the renovations they were doing. Because this house is, like, I mean, it...
Well, when you've got a house, like, that big and that nice, home tours are a thing. Like, look at some of the historic homes in our town. Like, they do that, like, regressive dinner thing or a progressive dinner thing where each house has a different... like an appetizer or a salad or a main course or a dessert or whatever. And they do home tours. We went to a party with one of Shelton's coworkers, and it was in one of those big, beautiful things. And like the hostess was literally just doing home tours, like groups. Meanwhile, you can't even remember the upstairs of my house.
I can't. The only time I've ever seen it, I was blackout drunk.
Happy birthday.
I have vague memories of it, of your bathroom and maybe your guest room. I don't know.
Nope.
No?
You complete opposite side of the house.
Well, no, no, no. I used your bathroom.
So you went through our bedroom.
Yeah, but you showed me your guest room, I think, because you were showing me the shirts you were working on. Maybe?
That was the study.
Okay, whatever. I'll go up into your house some other time sober. okay, so here are some things that sounded suspicious. So, giving a tour of his big fancy house. The wife, this neighbor, said, quote, "It'll be nice to have some young blood in the neighborhood."
Which, that's not weird.
I mean, I feel like it'd be kind of weird anyway.
I want young blood in our neighborhood. We're surrounded by old people.
Don't call it young blood, though. That's weird. And that's what he said in the letter. Anyways.
Yeah, whatever.
The other thing was their contractor came back to the house one morning, and a sign that he had nailed to the front door. I have a lot of questions about that anyways.
Do not be nailing things to the door of my million-dollar home.
I don't know why
thank you.
Unless you're replacing the door.
Unless that's going to be replaced. Keep your nails out of my door.
Well, the watcher felt the same, or whoever, someone felt the same, because they had ripped the sign off the door. And I put a note here that this reminds me of our old landlords at our house that we could not get out of fast enough, because they would do things like they came over when we first moved in. They came over for, I think, to fix something in the bathroom. And she sent us a text. She was like, "By the way, please don't put any nails in the front door. It's original, as are the floors." So,
no offense, but those floors were atrocious.
Those floors were horrible, right? Especially compared to my floors now, which are beautiful, also original. Jarek had literally, he had hung up a wreath, and he had just, there was like already a hole in the door. Mm-hmm. So he had just put a nail where a nail had already been. But they would say like that all the time. And to me, it just sounds like this watcher is just like, thinks they're the owner of the house and is like, "This is original.
I've been tasked with watching this house.
I'm gonna rip this out of the door."
Obviously, that means that no change is acceptable.
Oh, gosh. So, let's see. I have so many notes here. Okay. So, 2 weeks later, after the first letter, they receive a second letter. So, it starts, "Welcome again to your new home at 657 Boulevard.
See, I think so far the creepiest thing is just the way he refers to the house.
He said
the address.
Yeah, it's like he says it all the time. Yeah. The worker, by the way, drinking game. Take a drink every time we say the full name of the house.
All right.
We'll go ahead and drink. I'm going to need a refill soon. Okay. The workers have been busy, and I have been watching you unload carfuls of your personal belongings. The dumpster is a nice touch. Have they found what is in the walls yet? In time, they will. So, at this point, he talks about how he has learned a lot about them. I think he mentions the car that they drive or something. He also says that he has identified all three of their children, their ages, and their nicknames. And he says, I am pleased to know your names now and the name of the young blood you have brought me.
Okay, well, now the whole young blood thing is creepy.
Yeah. See, don't reference all the young blood you want in your neighborhood. He says, you certainly say their names often. Which, they reference the fact that, like, when Maria was trying to keep an eye on everyone, she was, like, screaming the children's names.
Well, yeah, she didn't want them being snatched up or wandering off or thinking that they've met a friendly neighbor kind of thing.
So he also mentions specifically that he saw one of the children. She was using an easel on their screened-in porch. And he asks, is she the artist of the family? So he goes on. This is kind of a long bit. 657 Boulevard. Drink. I'm not going to drink for this part. You knocked over the cat.
Sorry, spooky cat.
Let's see. 657 Boulevard is anxious for you to move in. It has been years and years since the young blood ruled the hallways of the house. Have you found all the secrets it holds yet? Will the young blood play in the basement? Or are they too afraid to go down there alone? I would be very afraid if I were them. It is far from the rest of the house. If you were upstairs, you would never hear them scream. Will they sleep in the attic? Or will you all sleep on the second floor? Who has the bedroom facing the street? I'll know as soon as you move in. It will help me to know who is in which bedroom. Then I can plan better. All of the windows and doors in 657 Boulevard.
Plan for what? Oh. His watching duties?
I know. What are you doing? You're just watching it. All of the windows and doors in 657 Boulevard allow me to watch you and track you as you move through the house. Who am I? I am the Watcher, and I have been in control of 657 Boulevard for the better part of 2 decades now. The Woods family turned it over to you. It was their time to move on and kindly sold it when I asked them to. I pass by many times a day.
That doesn't track with their story.
Who do you believe?
Probably the former owner, is it not the crazy person leaving long-winded letters about blood and watching?
Not the anonymous weirdo? 657 Boulevard is my job, my life, my obsession. And now you are too, Bratis family. Welcome to the product of your greed. Greed is what brought you the past three families. Wait. Greed is what brought the past three families to 657 Boulevard. And now it has brought you to me. Have a happy moving in day. You know I will be watching. Oh, wait. There's one more part. Oh, wait. No, there's not. Sorry. That's the end of that letter. I put the letters in a different colored font so that I could remember what was quotes. So at this point, they stop bringing the kids to the house. Mm-hmm. And they also,
they say, forget all the other contracting, projects. We're putting blinds and curtains on all of the windows now.
Yeah, you know.
Wouldn't that be, like, step number one after this?
This whole time.
I also feel like that would really piss him off, though.
Well, okay, I stayed up really late finishing this last night, and this whole time, I never thought really of that. So the steps that the Broaddus family takes, I halfway through this, I start to kind of change my mind about who I'm sympathizing with a little bit, but like, I never, I'm, it never crossed my mind to just be like, no, just put blackout curtains everywhere. That's a good idea. Maybe. Okay.
All right. So, gentle listeners, if you're getting anonymous, you know, semi-threatening, but mostly creepy letters about being watched, you know, just reach out to me. I got the answers and solutions for you.
Step one.
Curtains.
Curtains. Okay.
Otherwise, it's curtains. Oh, bam! Sorry, I had a lot of wine drinking all
Katie
of the...
Katie followed the drinking game and drank every time I said the name of the house.
Baby sip.
Okay, so they stop bringing the kids. They are now starting to kind of second guess whether they want to actually move into the house.
I'm assuming they submitted this letter to the police as well.
Yes, they are submitting the letters as they can. Okay. So,
are they getting any kind of forensics on it? Like fingerprints?
So that'll come up later, but okay. Like it makes it sound like at this point they're not.
I mean, it. I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
Because it, like, it's not, nothing is actually like outwardly threatening, and nothing bad has happened yet, kind of a thing. And unfortunately, police are reactive, not proactive most of the time. And so until like an actual like threat against their life, like direct, has been issued, they're probably not going to amp the importance level of it up to getting any kind of forensics testing on it.
I will say, though, if someone sent me a letter and they were like, are your kids going to play in the basement where you wouldn't be able to hear them scream?
Yeah.
I'd be like,
oh, no, that's... I'm saying, like, a direct threat against someone's
maybe
life.
Maybe we board up the basement now and we just don't... No one goes in there.
Yeah.
Basements are scary anyways.
Yes, they are. So, I mean, like, that, obviously that's, like, creepy and ominous and, like, are you being threatening or are you just trying to scare us
kind of a thing? That's true. So, a few weeks after this letter, the Watcher writes them again. And the only part of this one I have says, where have you gone to? 657 Boulevard is missing you. That's it.
All right, one sec.
So, all right. I've broken down this next part into, well, so the next, this next part we're going to go over are different clues and theories as to... So far, mm-hmm. from what we've got.
Well, so far we've got the one neighbor who did the house tour and mentioned the young blood thing that is now, like...
Yes. Okay, so the letters themselves were processed in Kearney, New Jersey, which is just the distribution center in...
So they're actually being mailed, not dropped in a mailbox.
Yes, they're okay. Actually being mailed. So that indicates that the letter writer is close, or at least semi-local. When the Woods put the house on the market, so first thing is they never put a for sale sign in the yard, and the first letter was postmarked before the sale to the Broaddus's was made public, and it was only one day after the contractors visited the house. So, in terms of how they would know that the house was for sale and who had bought it, who knows?
Well, it also kind of depends on, like, had they already moved their stuff out before, like, listing it? And, like, because, I mean, if somebody's watching the house, like, then obviously they're going to see that...
That's true.
The Woods are moving out.
Right.
And for sale sign or not. I mean, also, people... You watch Psych. You can just go up and ask people a question, and they'll tell you everything.
That's true.
So, I mean, it could be someone, like, just... walking their dog, like, oh, are the Woods is moving out? No, I didn't know that.
That's true. This will make you suspicious of all your neighbors.
I already am. I don't trust any of them.
So, the renovations that the Broadduses were doing, they were almost all interior, and other neighbors said that they hadn't really noticed. It wasn't like there was... exterior construction being done. They said they hadn't really noticed any commotion. I kind of get the feeling, like, if you didn't really know that they were renovating a bunch of stuff,
they were probably, like, repainting rooms, changing out cabinets and countertops in the bathrooms and kitchen and stuff,
possibly tearing up the original floors.
tearing up carpet. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, it... I mean, if you've got that much money to spend on a house, then hell no, you're not getting your hands dirty with painting. Like, hire a contractor for that.
Yeah, except for Derek was painting that one time.
Well, he did grow up in a working class family, so this he knows true. How to work.
My notes just went weird on
But he just probably doesn't have the time, being a big VP at a...
He had time to cancel his business trip to stay with his family. I got my notes back. Okay. Let's see. Okay. So the easel. Remember the watcher mentioned the child.
The daughter.
Yeah. So the porch is enclosed, and you can't really see into it from the street. I get the impression was there's a lot of vegetation kind of in the way. The only way you can see
a shrubbery.
A shrubbery.
Shrubbery.
The only way you can see into it is from the back of the house or directly next door.
Where did Youngblood neighbor live?
I'm going to assume neither of those places because they mention we're going to get into the family that lives next door and then the family who lives behind them.
I mean, so far we've only got like the one person, like the one neighbor who is even mildly notable. So like that's all I've got woman. To go on.
She was probably just trying to be clever.
I mean, that's exactly what I would say, too. Oh, young blood.
Okay. But don't say that. Now,
well, your whole view of that phrase is now tainted, obviously.
So should yours be.
Well, keep telling the story, and then maybe it will be.
Don't refer to someone's children as young blood. Don't refer to the...
I don't refer to children as young blood. Well, I refer to young other people my age, which is not that young.
Maybe don't refer to anyone's blood.
I do what I want.
Okay. So the next thing was when they listed the house, when the Woods listed the house, they initially received a lot of offers that were above asking price. And so Derek and Maria thought that maybe it was like a jilted buyer or like someone who wanted to buy the house and for whatever reason either couldn't or their offer was rejected or whatever. And then Andrea Woods, suggested that it was probably someone in the neighborhood, given that they had mentioned seeing the contractors and knowing the children's names. I feel like that's kind of a given. Like, obviously they're watching the house. They said, welcome new neighbors. It's a neighbor. Okay. So the house next door to the Broadduses. So this is one
where you can see into the porch.
Where you can see into the porch. Okay. So that belonged to a family called the Langfords. And Peggy Langford, the matriarch, was in her 90s, and several of her adult children lived with her. They were all in their 60s. Unclear if any of them were married. It kind of seems like maybe none of them were. They were just...
Yeah, maybe divorced or widowed.
Yeah. So one son in particular... Oh, sorry, I'm skipping ahead. Richard was her husband, Richard Langford. He had died 12 years earlier, and one of the younger sons, his name was Michael, and he had been described by neighbors as, quote, a Boo Radley character.
Nice.
So he had been diagnosed with schizophrenia when he was younger, and he was sometimes known to kind of do odd things like walk through people's backyards or... like look into the windows of homes that were being renovated. But people who knew him said, like, he's really friendly. He's not trying to be...
He's harmless. He's just...
He just doesn't understand
social boundaries. Yeah, he just lacks
boundaries. Which makes sense. I mean...
Yeah.
It's totally fine. Totally makes sense. And the Langfords themselves had lived in their home since the 1960s, which, if you remember the letter...
But there was also mention of the family in the 20s and such.
This is true.
Which, my brain went on a little random, got a little derailed.
Yes.
A little daydream, and I have a mild theory to posit later.
Oh, okay. I'm interested, because I also have a theory. If the husband Richard, if he had died 12 years earlier, if he was around the same age as Peggy in his 90s, that could possibly be... Sort of doable. Well, no, sorry. The father would have been...
The previous watcher.
The previous watcher in the 60s.
Yeah.
Okay. So Derek becomes convinced that Michael Langford is the watcher.
Oh, of course. Because he's a little bit different.
Yes. So he tells Detective Lugo about, you know, what he thinks. And Detective Lugo's like, I'm a detective. I already knew. And I've already investigated him and his family. And there was, like, no evidence. He had already interviewed Michael at least once after the first letter came. And Detective Lugo kind of said, look, I interviewed him after that first letter. And I, like, you know, kind of made him aware of what was going on. So the likelihood of him then sending a second letter, not very high, you know, because that kind of raises the risk of him getting caught if we are already on to him.
Yeah. Who knows what his schizophrenic brain is going to do with that information. Yeah. I mean, he's probably more likely going to start worrying that he's got somebody watching his house.
Yeah, I know. Like, probably f***ed up his life. So, Derek is not convinced. So, he hires a private investigator and has the whole Langford family investigated, which... They check out. Nothing comes up.
I was about to say, turns up nothing.
The Westfield police suggest, they're like, okay, maybe try sending a letter to the Langfords and tell them that you're planning on tearing the house down and see if that gets any kind of reaction. So they do that and nothing. I mean, the Langfords are like,
I'm in my 90s. My kids are in their 60s. Like, do what you want.
Yeah, they're like, good riddance. We don't care. So eventually, after Michael is interviewed a second time by police, the Broaddus hire a lawyer to sit down with the Langfords, like the whole family and their attorney. And they basically, like, lay everything out. They show them the letters. They say, like, this is what's happening. This is why we're suspicious. Like, this is why we think it's Michael. Like, you know, what do we do? One of the daughters, Abby, Michael's sister, says that the police are harassing them, which, I mean, the Broaddus family's harassing you, but whatever.
Yeah.
They're using the police to do it.
Yeah. Well, also, this is, you know, what, the 2014 you said?
Mm-hmm.
This is not, like, this is not the 60s.
Yeah.
Michael has been diagnosed schizophrenic.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's been that way for years.
Yeah.
And I am sure that he has gotten and is continuing to get the proper medical treatment and care. And people with schizophrenia, if they are on their medication and, you know, receiving constant, you know, medical care, like their checkups, making sure everything's right, they can lead perfectly normal lives.
Yeah.
Like most... Just like everyone with... mental disorder.
Sorry, do I need to pull out the soapbox real quick?
Nope. I'm just saying, like, this is 2014 when this is taking place.
Yes.
He is a normal person.
Yes.
He just has to take some special medicine.
Yes. He just has a mental illness, like all of us do to some point.
Gotta mean mental illness. It's called humanity.
So basically the whole Langford family is like, no, Michael's innocent. We're going to stand behind him. And the police, like, they're like, we don't have any, like, there's not any evidence. So move along. So then the Broaddus's hire former FBI agent Robert Linehan to evaluate the letters and do a, quote, threat assessment.
Well, and then also possibly a psychological profile, too, of the writer.
Yes. This part...
So, like, on one hand, like, yeah, they're being dicks. but on the other hand, like, I understand a little bit of, like, they just want this figured out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Like, I get that they're trying to do all that they can do. They just want the quick and easy solution. It's the creepy neighbor.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, they just want to know that it's not actually some weird psychopath watching the house and, like, talking about what's
in the house. They just want the easy fix and to be done with it and go back to their white bread life.
So this part actually is very interesting because I, in my quarantine, was watching, I think it's not Mindhunters, it's Deadly Games. I don't know what it's called. Mm-hmm. It's a show about, the first one that we watched was about, dang it, what's his name? Eric Rudolph. who he bombed the Olympics in like 94.
Okay.
And then he bombed a bunch of other places and hid out in North Carolina, fun fact, for several years before he was captured. And there's like a security guard who was wrongfully confused. It's very interesting. Anyways, the other show related to that is about the Unabomber. Mm-hmm. And there was a forensic linguistics, but the person who studies it,
linguologist.
Okay, I thought you were gonna know the word.
No.
And it talks about how through these letters that the Unabomber sent, this forensic linguist, was able to kind of create a profile based on like the language and whatever. So that's kind of what this guy does.
He's a linguist.
Okay. I don't know why I was trying to add extra syllables to it.
Because linguistics.
Linguisticist. Okay.
Linguologist. I liked that one. Reminds me of a koala.
That does sound very koala-y. Okay. So, the envelope was addressed. The way it was addressed was M/M. Brodus. Mm-hmm. Bratis. And the salutations in the letter mentioned, like, the weather, and there was double spacing between the sentences. So he thought that suggested it was an older writer, because we don't double space between sentences.
I still do.
Okay.
I mean, I it's an active, like, don't do it, but...
Katie is actually 77 years old.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Feeling
at least 83 today.
Well, the M/M, I didn't know that was a thing. I feel like that's maybe something you might learn.
Mr. Mrs. I've seen it, but it is older.
Yeah. I've never heard of the mentioning the weather in the salutations.
I
don't know. Whatever.
Good day. What lovely weather we're having here, isn't it? Jolly good.
Have you discovered what's in the walls?
I'm really ready to get to that.
Okay. So Lenihan also pointed out what he called a, quote, certain literary panache, which he thought meant that the letter writer was an avid reader. He noted the lack of profanity, even though the writer seemed to be very angry with the Broaduses. And he thought that suggested that the writer was, quote, less macho. He doesn't sound very scientific, by the way.
I know, less macho is a technical term.
Oh, sorry.
For us linguologists.
Linguologist Katie Hunt will tell you that less macho means whatever. Oh my gosh, tomorrow Jarek's gonna be yelling at me. Do we cut out the word pussy? Is that a swear?
Yes, Jarek. There should have been two caws then, so.
Okay, there were some typos in the first letter. Not typos, like misspellings, but the first letter was dated Tuesday, June the 4th, and June the 4th was actually a Wednesday. Mm. So Lenihan thought that there was, like, erratic. Almost like he's rushed and he's not necessarily thinking them through.
Or maybe he's thinking, all right, well, today is Tuesday, they're going to get it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He detected anger directed specifically at the wealthy, which, same.
This is just feeding into my theory, by the way.
Okay, good. He also thought, this is not the movie I watched, but he thought that the writer might have seen the movie The Watcher that came out in 2000, not the 2016 version. This is a movie, I watched the trailer for it.
The 2010?
The 2000s.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves, who I love, plays a serial killer who stalks his victims and is stalking the detective who is tracking him.
It's so meta.
Listen, later they have someone who's like, I think the Watcher probably watches Game of Thrones because Jon Snow is the Watcher at the Wall. Like, I could have done better than that. I have another excerpt from one of the letters. I don't know which one. Do you want to refill on your wine?
I was about to say, I need more wine if we're going to read another letter.
Okay. We'll take a quick little refill. Hold on.
Jerry, hit the pause.
Okay. I don't know which letter it's from, but it goes. The house is crying from all the pain it's going through. You have changed it and made it so fancy. You are stealing its history. It cries for the past and what used to be in the time when I roamed its halls.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and say this. So we've got a second letter writer.
Ooh.
Because he's only been using the word it. That's, mm-hmm. like, very, you know, like, dehumanizing and disassociative and disrespectful of 65748. What is it?
657.
No. It's, 867-5309. There we go.
Boulevard. The 1960s were a good time for 657 Boulevard.
Oh. I'm gonna drink too.
When I ran from room to room, imagining the life with the rich occupants there, the house was full of life and young blood. Then it got old, and so did my father. But he kept watching until the day he died, and now I watch and wait for the day when the young blood will be mine again. That's it.
Can we... Are we ready for my...
Yeah, go ahead and tell me yours.
The letter writer is the son, or potentially daughter, of a butler or caretaker of the house. So in, like, the 20s, maybe as early as the 20s, they had someone there as some sort of servant. And into the 60s, they probably still maybe had a butler, like, housekeeper kind of a person. And this is the child. And, you know, maybe it was a family thing. Maybe his grandfather was the butler in the 20s, and his father was the butler or servant of some sort, housekeeper thing, in the 60s. And so he grew up going to work with dad, or even maybe mom was a maid there and dad was the butler, whatever. Maybe played with the rich people's kids, and they were friends, but they weren't friends because they weren't equals. Yep. And I can't... I'm gonna hold the rest of my theory until we find out what's in the walls.
Well, I still think that you're sneaking a look at my notes, because the next thing I have written is that Lena Hen suggested that the Broaddus's look into former housekeepers who used to work at 657, or their children who might have spent time there but never lived there. Because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, okay, it's someone who's been in the house before. Sounds like they used to play there. Felt like they used to...
Referred to the rich people as separate. So they weren't classifying themselves as the rich people.
Yeah.
And so also, like, you know, the house when I roamed the halls. But it still doesn't sound like, well, when I roamed the house when it was my house. It never felt like it was their house.
Yeah.
But they still got to be... In it and associated with.
Yeah. And they say, imagining the life with the rich occupants that lived there. So it kind of suggested that maybe this person was jealous. Maybe they were upset that the Broadduses bought a home that they felt like they were entitled to. So the Broadduses are, like, hiring everyone they can because they just have tons of money. Which I'm going to get into in a minute. They hire a private investigator who found two child sex offenders within a few blocks, which, fun fact, you don't need a private investigator for that. You can just look it up.
Internet.
Yeah. The house painter that they had hired had noticed behind 657.
You're doing this on purpose now.
I'm going to call Shelton to come pick you up after this. There's a pair of lawn chairs in the yard behind them, which, okay, I'm not trying to say that my life is paralleling our podcast, but the house directly behind us, whose yard you can see into from our yard, has been, like, vacant since we moved in, and just recently there has been a young couple who has been showing up every now and then, like, they're checking on stuff. Kelly was out in the backyard today, and she was, like, barking at them. So I'm imagining those people. The house painter noticed they had some lawn chairs that were close to the property line. Mm-hmm. And he said one day he saw an older man sitting in one of the lawn chairs, but it's not like he was just sitting in his backyard, like, kind of looking at his house.
Enjoying the breeze.
Yeah. He had turned, the lawn chairs turned so that he was watching 657. Okay. So, well,
also, I mean, how old was this man?
They didn't say. They just said an older man.
Well, if they say older, I'm going to assume retired.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
That's what I spent all quarantine doing, just sitting outside.
Watch what's going on in the neighborhood. I mean, if there's construction going on, like, yeah, you said there's not a lot. There's apparently some happening to the outside, mm-hmm. but not much. Most of it's inside. Maybe they're just trying to, like, play a game of, like, all right, well, we got contractors. I see there's activity up here. Wonder what they could be doing. Well, if I had that house, this is what I would change. I don't know. Lord, that's a game I would play.
I feel like that's my dad when he's retired. Because my dad, fun fact, when we were waiting in the waiting room, you know, back in the day when you were allowed to sit in the waiting room at hospitals when someone was having a baby? When my first nephew was being born, we were sitting there, and I was 18, so I was, like, a nervous wreck, like, waiting on my mom, who was in the room with my sister, to call me and let me know, like, that we had a baby. And my dad he wanted to play his favorite game, spot the architectural flaws in this room. He's an architect. So he literally had already picked out, like, 6 or 7 things that were not right about the room. So that's going to be him.
So your dad's an architect.
Yes.
Mine's an engineer.
Okay.
My dad has a t-shirt that says, it says architect, but, you know, the dots in it, like it's a dictionary word. Uh-huh. And an engineer who can't do math.
Oh, man. I know my dad listens to this, by the way.
And so does mine.
I checked. Remember that episode where I was like, I hope my parents quit listening because I was thinking about selling my underwear on the internet?
Yep.
Which I'm back on that idea,
by the way. I recently re-listened to that one the other day.
Yeah, I'm back on that now because now we have a car payment. I said something to my parents about, like, you guys aren't still listening. And no, they are. They're a little behind, but they listen, so. Hi, guys.
I'm a little behind, too, but to be fair, I'm on the podcast.
You're on the podcast. To be fair, full disclosure, I don't actually listen to ours when it comes out. Because now that we're so close, like, this one comes out in, like, 3 days. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, ugh, it's so soon. I don't want to listen to it again.
That's my thing. I just heard the story.
I just heard this. I am listening to some of the new ones that we swapped with. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. A Little Bit Grim. I'm getting ready to binge because I just need to check and make sure that the one took her plane ride safely because they just did a conspiracy theory about the Malaysian flight that disappeared. Mm. It's really good.
Spooky Life?
A Little Bit Grim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Theirs are a little longer and they each do one, which I appreciate. Anyways, sorry. Back to...
Jared cut that.
Okay. So, they finished the renovations on the house. All that was finished within, like, a few months. So, they, like, house was ready to move into. But, the Broaddus's were like, we don't want to live here anymore. So...
Because of all the sirens?
Yeah. The safe neighborhood that I moved into. We live off of a main road.
Yeah. That's why.
So they had an alarm system installed. Derek started looking for trained German shepherds. They did not say whether they got one, which I felt like was the most important part of the story. Also, guys, you don't need a trained German shepherd. Adopt from your local shelter. If you get...
Mutts are the best.
90% of the dogs that you're going to get, they're gonna lose their shit if someone comes to the house. Like, mm-hmm. Kelly loses her mind. She was literally exhausted when Katie got here today and still acted like it was, like, the best day of her life when Katie got here.
Oh, no, she was angry when I first, like, knocked on the door and then started opening it. Like, I knocked on the door and then I opened it. Uh-huh. And it wasn't until I started opening that she, like, angry barked and leapt off the couch. And then as soon as I came in and I'm like, oh, hey, Kelly girl. She's like, oh, no, it's my friend.
I forgot. Yeah, any dog you get's gonna make a lot of commotion if someone comes over. Also, Kelly is now getting confused. We're watching a lot of shows where there's doorbells on the shows. She gets real confused when that happens. It's really cute. Derek also posted a job for looking for military vets. And he put in the posting, quote, all you have to do is work out in the backyard every day. I don't know if that means, like, do work in the backyard or
work out.
Get a Bowflex and put it in the backyard and work out.
It's like a really odd thing, too. Like, it sounds like a weird sex thing. Let's be real.
All you have to do is work out in the backyard every day.
I mean, I really miss going to the gym a whole lot. And I would be great to get paid to work out, but no, I would not apply to that one. Nope.
What if you answered that ad thinking that that's what it meant? You're like, I brought my free weights. Do you have a bench I can use?
Let me lay my yoga mat out right here.
Yeah, do Pilates in the backyard. Also, I don't want to say this because I don't want to, like, trash talk them, but how much do you think they offered for that?
Not enough.
Yeah. You think it's like one of those nanny jobs where they're like, I'll pay you $150 a week to watch my child. Must be available at all hours.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Out of touch.
Yeah.
We'll just say that.
So
they Mitch McConnell'd him.
Get ready. I did some math in this next part. So they had already sold their old house and they didn't want to move into the new one. So they moved in with Maria's parents. Okay. So the article.
So they got this brand new all
$1 million home.
Tarted up with its construction, yeah. And
so
they won't live there.
Yeah. So
the because of two letters or three letters now?
2 to 3 letters. Yeah. So the article in The Cut mentioned several times that they were still paying the mortgage and the property taxes on 657, which I want to mention, typically, as I have learned since I bought a home, you don't have to mention that you're also paying property taxes. It's all balled into one thing. Like, you're just paying a monthly payment on the house. Okay.
Not always. Sometimes you pay your monthly mortgage through your bank and then you just pay the taxes separately.
Okay. Well, don't do that. It's too many things. Okay. So I looked up a moderate estimate on a $1.3 million home. So you're paying about $15,000 a month for your mortgage, which is gross. Also, in 2014, minimum wage in New Jersey was $8.25 an hour, which means that if you were working full-time, after taxes, if you worked a minimum wage job, you were bringing home just over $14,000 a year, which means that the Broadduses had a monthly payment for their house, just the mortgage, not taxes included. They had a month.
Or utilities.
Like, none of that. They were paying more than what many, many people make in a year. They were paying that a month. That is disgusting, and no one should be allowed to do that.
Oh my gosh, if we could pay $15,000 a month on our mortgage, we would have had our house paid off.
That's like
years ago.
This year. I know, like, I mean, I guess I was going to say, remember the Lawson family? And then I remembered, only we remember the Lawson family because it's the last episode.
Do we really remember it? No, we do.
Was that all? Did that happen? They were the family, recap. They were,
we'll re-release it.
We'll re-release it.
Because we got to re-record it first.
But they had a family of, like, what, 5, 7? They had a whole bunch of kids. They had a farm, and they were paying like $650 today for their house.
Yeah, and it was like 60 acres or something, you said?
Yeah, and it was a hole that they had to fix up.
If I was paying $15,000 a month on our home,
yeah,
we would have had our home paid off in about a little over a year. That's not even a year and a half.
Disgusting. Yeah. It's going to take me 2 years to pay off my car that I just bought.
I'm still paying off my car.
Okay. So this is the part in my research where I'm like,
your sympathies are fading?
My sympathies are now leaning a little bit more towards other parties. Because it's disgusting. $15,000 a month is gross. The article in The Cut also quoted Derek as saying, quote, "I had to do things like shovel the driveway. Just imagine that little indignity. I'd go at 5 in the morning, then come back and do the same thing at my in-laws." He's upset that he has to
take care of his house that he bought.
Upkeep the house that he bought that he doesn't want to live in. And also,
a little press.
Also, you've hired so many people. Like, you're paying $15,000 a month on your house. Hire a neighborhood kid to shovel your lawn. Like, your driveway. I was too lazy.
Why do you need to shovel the driveway if you're not even going? You don't live there. How often are you actually going to your house other than to shovel your driveway? I mean, I know it's New Jersey. I know it snows. I know it friggin' blizzards there.
But still.
But
if you don't,
it's only winter for a few months, yeah, and it doesn't always, like, crazy blizzard. And also, if you don't need the driveway, why do you have to shovel it? Is it just, maybe the HOA requires it.
That's probably what it is. Fun fact, when we were looking for a house, I specifically said, I don't want an HOA.
Oh, yeah, no, I made
sure. Can't deal with that.
Our real estate agent was pretty good. She showed us, I think, one that had an HOA, and she's like, it's only $100 per year, and they don't say anything at all about your home. All of that money goes towards the, like, the gardening and the upkeep of, like, the little entryway. And I'm like, that's fine. If you're not going to come and tell me to cut my lawn on a diagonal and I can't have my flamingos and gnomes, my dirty gnomes out there, then, all right. But no, it was like a starter home and it was basic and ugly. And
I was trying to picture your front. I mean, your house is pretty, but I was trying to picture your front lawn area. And I can't think of it.
It's not very big, that's why.
Okay. You should put some gnomes out there.
Ask Jarek about what my front yard area looks like. He puked into it.
Fertilized it with his wine puke. Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! 6 months later.
So, friends of the Broadduses, the Broadduses didn't tell, they told, like, some close friends about the letters, but they didn't tell the neighbors, because the police told them not to. So people were like,
with the exception of the Langfords,
of course. So people were speculating why they weren't moving in. So they were like, I mean, it's a small town, it's gossipy. So they were like, are they having legal issues, marital problems? Like, what's going on? So Derek and Maria both started having trouble sleeping, which I also relate to, just because quarantine messes up your sleep schedule. They started taking medication to help them sleep. Maria started going to a therapist, which, yes, good. Her therapist told her she had PTSD and it wouldn't go away until they got rid of the house. Which, I don't know. I'm not a therapist. I don't know. I don't know.
I've said it too many times. This is the new drinking game. I'm not a psychologist. And
you are a scientist, though.
I'm a scientist. But PTSD is, like, a widely variable thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to what causes it and what triggers episodes and such.
Yeah.
But it, I mean, it's very much in line with, like, if something is causing you stress, remove the thing that causes the stress.
Yes.
So it's like, ugh, you know, I've got a thing at work that I've been putting off and now I can't sleep. Well, you know what? I'm waking up. I'm going first thing in the morning, and I'm going to just do this thing. Like, yeah, just take care of it. Get it done. Or the cleaning and organizing group that I'm in. Yeah, you know, somebody asked a question. Like, I'm afraid. Like, I hate getting rid of things because what if I need it? Or, like, what if it's sentimental? Or blah, 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 blah. I'm like, if it's something, a piece of clothing or an object, I put it out so that I see it every single day.
Yep.
And it gets to the point where I either use it mm-hmm. and then put it away because obviously I will use it, or I just get so sick of seeing it, I throw it away. And just, then it's gone.
So what you're saying is just throw the whole house away.
Just throw the house away. Throw it away. There's a funny Family Guy episode that like spoofs Marie Kondo.
Oh, God.
But it's instead of Marie Kondo, it's Trisha Takanawa. And instead of does it spark joy, does it kindle happiness? Or
does
something
it kindle
like that.
Happiness?
Yeah. And she's like, the mantra, throw it away. Lois goes head over heels for it. It's great. Good episode.
It's good. Throw out stuff. Mm-hmm. You ready for another quote from some letter?
Yes.
All right.
Got my wine.
All right. Here goes. Quote. Excuse me. 657 Boulevard is turning on me. It's coming after me. I don't understand why. What spell did you cast on it? It used to be my friend, and now it's my enemy. I am in charge of 657 Boulevard. It is not in charge of me. I will fend off its bad things and wait for it to become good again. It will not punish me. I will rise again. I will be patient and wait for this to pass and for you to bring the young blood back to me. 657 Boulevard needs young blood. It needs you. Come back. Let the young blood play again like I once did. Yet let the young blood sleep in 657 Boulevard. Stop changing it and let it be done. Sorry, let it alone.
Okay, so it sounds like this person might have some PTSD now. Of like, there's just the house is empty and they're freaking out because in their mind, their job is to watch the house and the people within.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one there. There's no activity. It's just sitting there and they are probably just freaking out.
Yes.
And it sounds like they might, I mean, I'm still not going to jump on the whole it's Michael Langford bandwagon. But it does sound like this person might have, like, some bit of schizophrenia thing.
They're a little unhinged.
I mean, they're just, they're, when they said the 657 mm-hmm. drink was their obsession, like, that might have been an understatement.
Yeah. Also, like, do you have a day job? Like, what else are, I don't know, get a hobby. Like,
that is their hobby. That is their job, their life, their mission, remember?
Get another hobby.
I can smell those burgers, and now I'm very hungry.
I can hear the burgers. I hope everyone at home can also hear that sizzling. It's my husband making me some burgers.
I don't hear it, but I smell it.
I hear it.
Which is more than I can say for you.
Well,
you can smell.
I can smell. I'm negative. Jarrett can't smell or taste. Which is great for me, because I don't have to worry if I cook him anything. Can't taste it. Okay. By the end of 2014, the investigation on the letters had run cold. There was no physical evidence, no digital evidence. And in December of 2014, the police told Derek and Maria that they were out of options. So, the Broaddus's did the only thing that they felt they could do at this point, and they put 657 Boulevard back on the market. So, initially, they listed it for higher than what they had paid.
Of course. Well, they spent all that money on the renovations.
Right. So, which, you know what? There's not a house out there that should cost more than $1 million. Like, I'm just going to say it. But
unless it has a bowling alley.
I hate bowling. So, maybe something else. So, small town. So, there are rumors everywhere about, like, what's going on with this house. The rumors ranged from, like, there was a sexual predator that was, like, somehow
lurking,
stalking it, or just, like, a regular stalker or whatever. But people didn't want to buy the house.
Mm-hmm.
The Broaddus has mentioned the letters to potential buyers, and they said that whoever's offer they accepted, they were going to disclose the full letters to them.
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot of offers below listing price, but they weren't ready to take that kind of financial hit yet, so they declined those. And on June 2nd, 2015, which was just about a year after the first letter arrived, the Broaddus's filed a legal complaint against the Woodses for not disclosing the letter that they had received from the Watcher. The Broaddus's felt that the name, the Watcher, was threatening enough that the Woodses should have, like, recognized that that was threatening and disclosed the letters. Even though the Woodses were like, the one letter we got was not threatening, it was just kind of weird.
Like, well, and also, one of the letters the Broaddus's got said they finally moved on, like I asked them to.
Yeah. But yeah.
According to the Woods, like, this is the first instance of anything they'd heard of.
Yeah.
No, they're just desperate and grasping at straws and tired of probably living with in-laws and paying $15,000 a month.
Yeah. I feel like this is the point where they are kind of just, like, just trying to stop the hemorrhage of money that is happening, where they're just, like, grabbing for anything.
Yep.
They also thought, because they were saying, like, we're going to tell any potential buyer about the letters, they're like, well, why didn't the Woodses tell us about, like, we're doing the right thing, why didn't they? Which, whatever, not the same thing.
Please tell me it was thrown out.
Well, I don't think it went anywhere. There's not really a lot on it, but the complaint itself got picked up by the local news because it was, like, public record. And before they knew it, their story had gone viral. Derek and Maria had over 300 media requests, which they declined all of them. And Reddit, of course, had something to say.
Gotta love Reddit.
So the theories from Reddit users are jilted mistress, of whom I'm not sure, spurned realtor who wanted to sell the house and couldn't. This is my favorite and my pick for what it is. Local high school creed writing project. guerrilla marketing for a horror movie. Or just pranks from local kids, which I feel like is the same as
okay, well, the guerrilla marketing for a horror movie.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen the Taco Bell nacho fries commercial? We were watching the Saints game earlier today, and it kept coming on. And it's basically nacho fries are a thing, and they're back. Okay. And the commercial is a trailer for a horror film. And when you were reading the last letter from the Watcher, I was literally playing that commercial in my head. And there's one of the guys is screaming, I consume you. You do not consume me. And the horror film is called The Craving.
Ooh.
And I'm like... Yeah, I guess.
Oh my gosh!
I guess I'm craving nacho fries. I don't know what they are really. It looks like just French fries with taco seasoning on them. So like, something I could do myself. Is it that big of a deal?
Yeah,
I don't know. Taco Bell fans, tell me. I love the Bell, but
I was gonna say there's one right up the street. We've been to it once since we moved here, and it gave us both the shits. So probably not going back.
Oh, that's where I always go, and it's fine.
If they served breakfast, I would be there every day. Taco Bell breakfast is underrated. Okay, so 657 quickly became the local, like, creepy house on the block. So, like, it got that reputation. There's a piano teacher who taught out of her house on that block. She said one of her students was terrified to walk past it because of, like, everything that happened. So it just kind of got that reputation. So media attention is growing on the story now, which previously no one knew about.
What's in the walls? What's in the walls?
So, a veteran of the Westfield Police Department, named Baron Chambliss was asked to look into the case.
Oh yeah. No, he definitely sounds like he belongs there.
So Chambliss is during his investigation, I don't know why it took this long. There was DNA on the letters and they were able to pull the DNA, and it was female DNA. So from the DNA and then other things that they didn't specify, they were able to definitively rule out anyone in the Langford family, much to the chagrin of Derek. Chambliss also discovered that around the same time that the Broadduses had received their first letter, another family in the neighborhood had also received a letter from the Watcher. I don't know how the fuck they missed that the first time. But, so, this other family got a letter. They didn't think it was threatening or whatever. So, they didn't... They just
kind they of went about it. Their lives, and yeah. they lived in the house that they were paying $15,000 yeah. a month for.
So the only reason it came up is because one of their grown children, when the Broaddus's story got all this media attention, mm-hmm. one of their grown children had posted about the letter they received on Facebook. They later deleted the post. Yeah. We don't know what the letter said. Chambliss basically said, quote, "There wasn't a lot to go on." So either they didn't remember, but it wasn't something that they found significant enough to call the police and, like, freak out about.
Right.
This fuels my theory that I'm going to bring up in a second. One night, Chambliss was watching the house, and he sees a car stop in front of 657 Boulevard. And it just kind of hangs out for longer than normal. So they take the license and they trace mm-hmm. it to this girl. And they talk to her. She has a boyfriend who lives on the same block. She tells the police that her boyfriend was into some dark video games, which whose boyfriend isn't, honestly. And one of the games included a character that he would play called the Watcher. Mm-hmm. The boyfriend was not actually living on the block at the time, but he agreed to come in for an interview with the police on two separate occasions, but he didn't come in either time, and they didn't have enough evidence to compel him to come in, so who knows where that went. That was just a dead end.
So the high school creative writing project is actually sounding pretty good.
I know, right? So eventually, when the media attention dies down, they don't really have any more evidence to go on, and Chambliss drops the case. Here's my theory, by the way. There's a little bit more to this, unfortunately. My theory, okay, so another family also got a letter. What if whoever the Watcher is sent out a bunch of letters and just waited to see who gave him the most reaction? Mm-hmm. The Broaddus's are the only ones who freak the fuck out and call the police. So he starts sending them more letters. I guess she starts mm-hmm. sending them more letters. But, like, he sent it to another family and they were just like, meh, we'll just throw this in the garbage. Anyways, my theory is whoever the Watcher is sent out different letters, was looking for a reaction, and focused on the Broaddus's because they were the only ones to freak out.
Rain down terror.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, just because the envelope was licked with female DNA does not mean it was written by a female.
This is true.
Though, I mean, you know, with my theory, I mean, it's entirely possible it was...
This is true.
A woman or a man. Like, I don't care who it is.
So, meanwhile, the neighbors on the boulevard start brainstorming about who they think the Watcher could be. And eventually, they all decide that the most likely case is that Derek and Maria sent the letters to themselves.
To what end?
Here are their reasons. Okay. So, they thought maybe they were suffering buyer's remorse and looking for a way to get out of their enormous purchase, which would have been the worst plan ever, because it backfired horribly. Yeah,
now you don't even get to, somewhat enjoy it.
They speculated maybe it was some kind of insurance fraud, which I feel like someone maybe just threw out that term without thinking...
There's no way.
...about what that meant. They thought maybe the Broadduses were looking for a movie deal, which they actually did get offered several movie deals, and they turned all of them down. They noted, this is my favorite, because I'm just imagining a bunch of people who live in million-dollar homes sitting around being like, the Broadduses went from living in a home that was $315,000 to living in a home that was $770,000 to living in a home that was $1.3 million, and they refinanced their mortgage. And, for the record, when asked about this, Derek said, quote, "It's America." Which makes me hate them a little bit more, but also it makes me hate the neighbors, and it just makes me hate everyone.
They're all out of touch. But, like, I mean, honestly, ideally, you buy a home.
Uh-huh.
And then, yes, maybe you start a family. Your family grows. You outgrow your home. Mm-hmm. You need a bigger home. Most likely, if you're buying a larger home, it's going to be a more expensive home.
Yeah.
And also, as your, you know, wealth grows, so can the price tag of your house. Like,
yeah, I just...
That's just dumb.
I'm just picturing
these people, these neighbors are stupid. None of them sent the letter. None of them are clever enough.
I'm just picturing these people who all live in homes that, like, who all probably had the same progression of, like, first we lived in, like, a moderately huge... By the way, full disclosure, our house that we are currently sitting in is not anywhere close to any of these numbers. But, like...
I think your house and my house together might be close to one of those numbers.
Maybe. okay. So, also, per Derek's logic, it's America. Anyone, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you too can be in a $1.3 million home. So the neighbors also said, well, why had they continued to fully renovate a home that they weren't ever going to live in? Mm-hmm. And then they also, this is my favorite argument, they said, Maria obviously does not care about her family's safety because her Facebook profile is public and she has pictures of her children on there.
Catty, catty bitches. Maybe that's why they sent the letters, because they realized how fucking catty that whole neighborhood was, and they didn't want to be a part of it.
It's like
this is why I hate neighbors. I don't want to.
It's like a gaggle of Karens.
Just
all
put me. Just let me go to my property in Virginia. You and I can remote record.
I can have Wi-Fi up there.
My closest neighbor is cows. Literally across the street is cows.
Listen, 2 years from... Listeners, hold us to it. 2 years from now, Katie's going to be like, listen, this one cow is fucking shady.
Oh, give me the stank eye through that barbed wire fence.
She gets right up on our property line every day. For the record, Marie's DNA did not match the DNA on the letter.
Never suspected.
So Derek argues that
she's not smart enough, obviously, because she's not smart enough to turn her Facebook profile on private.
That actually is a good life hack. Fun fact, my former landlords spied on us per our Facebook and Instagram.
Nice.
Derek argued that their would-be neighbors preferred conspiracy theories to the idea that their neighborhood might not be as safe as they wanted to believe it was. Which, true. In 2016, the Broaddus's borrowed money from some family members. Hello, I would like some family members who can lend me enough money to buy a house. They bought another home in Westfield, and they put $657 back on the market, hoping that all of the media attention that it had gained from the previous year would garner some interest in it. Because there were a lot of people who basically called them pussies and said, like, I would move into that, you know, like, I wouldn't let letters scare me away. So they were like, okay, prove it. So,
put your $1.3 million where your mouth is.
Yeah, come on. Derek also looked into renting the property out to the VA, or a company that ran halfway houses, which I encourage everyone to please look at the pictures of this house and tell me it would not be the sickest halfway house in the fucking world.
Well, that's where all of the heiresses go to kick their drug habit.
I mean, hello, I would get hooked on drugs just to live in this house.
Ah, but you've got to be an heiress first, darling.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I'm sure the rent is, you know.
Well, so
$7,000 a month.
We'll get into this, but he eventually used that as, like, a threat to his neighbors to be like, if you don't fucking approve this, like, I'm going to sell this to someone who's going to make it into a halfway house. Like, and then your neighbors are going to be druggies. So that's supposed to be a snap. Didn't sound it. Anyways. Sorry. This wine, I'm going to put it down.
We're getting hungry and antsy.
I know. I promise it's almost over. So they also looked into selling the land to a developer. Where am I going here? A developer that would tear the house down completely and then split the lot into two separate lots. The problem was that the lot...
That would piss the watcher off big time.
Yeah.
Then we might find out what's in the walls.
So the lots... The two lots would be, like, I think it was, like, 3 feet short of, like, the requirement. So it had to be approved by the planning board. So on January, or in January 2017, after a four-hour hearing that was attended by more than 100 residents.
I've actually spoken at a hearing like that.
Oh, gosh. Well, the board rejected their proposal. Good. The main argument from most of the residents said that splitting the lot would negatively affect the aesthetic of the boulevard. And at the end of the day, they wanted their nice neighborhood to stay nice. So later, in 2017, so a year later, the Broaddus's finally found a family that would rent the house from them.
Mm-hmm.
It was a family, they had grown children, so I guess they were like, you guys can fend for yourself. If someone learns your name, we don't care. They also had two...
Who wants to kidnap you?
I know. They're like, they had two large, ugly children.
My dad always said if I got kidnapped, they'd bring me back.
Oh. I mean, when I was 14, same. They also had two large dogs. They didn't provide any other details on the doggos. The family said that they weren't worried about the watcher, but they still had a clause in their lease agreement that basically said if they got another letter, they could break the lease. 2 weeks after moving in, they got a letter.
Nice.
This is what it says. And again, bits and pieces. Here we go. Violent winds and bitter cold. To the vile and spiteful Derek and his wench of a wife, Maria. You wonder who the watcher is? Turn around, idiots! Maybe you even spoke to me, one of the so-called neighbors who has no idea who the watcher could be. Or maybe you do know and are too scared to tell anyone. Good move. I walked by the news trucks when they took over my neighborhood and mocked me. I watched as you watched from the dark house in an attempt to find me. Telescopes and binoculars are wonderful inventions. 657 Boulevard survived your attempted assault and stood strong army of supporters barricading its gates. My soldiers of the boulevard followed my orders to a T. They carried out their mission and saved the soul of 657 Boulevard with my orders. All hail the Watcher. At this point, the letter mentions...
It does sound like a crazy old bat.
Right? Psycho. The letter mentions the new tenants, and then indicated that some kind of revenge might be carried out. They say, quote, maybe a car accident, maybe a fire, maybe something as simple as a mild illness that never seems to go away but makes you feel sick day after day after day after day after day.
COVID.
Maybe the mysterious death of a pet. Loved ones suddenly die.
Okay, now the letter is threatening.
Yes.
As soon as you mention the death of a pet, now it's a threat.
Yep, we're on it. Planes and cars and bicycles crash, bones break. So the tenants are like, WTF. They said they weren't going to move out, but Derek had to install cameras. So they're like, we'll stay if you put some cameras out. Mm-hmm. They obviously turned the letter over to the police. They didn't have a lot to go on, so they didn't pursue the case. As of 2018, they had some new renters in the house, but they said that the rent didn't cover the mortgage, which... No one's gonna pay $15,000 a month to rent that house. Derek and Maria have a lot of resentment towards the residents of Westfield, who they feel turned on them during the Watcher's reign of terror. And this is
If the letters have stopped, why don't they just go ahead and move into their house?
I don't know. Derek, this is my favorite part of the whole story. Derek sent anonymous letters. Derek Broaddus sent anonymous letters out on Christmas Eve of 2017 to the people he felt had been most vocal in their criticism of his family online, blasting them for, quote, speculating inaccurately and pointing out recent acts of domestic terrorism in which signs of mental illness had gone unnoticed. So he basically picked the people who had, like, been the meanest to his family and sent all of them anonymous letters at Christmas time to be like, you guys are jerks. Like, you shouldn't talk about the Broaddus family that way. They don't deserve it.
Oh, white male privilege is so fragile.
So this article in The Cut concludes by saying, the Watcher had been obsessed with the Broaddus family, and now Derek Broaddus was quite fully obsessed with the Watcher. The last letter he received said, quote, you are despised by the house, and the Watcher won. We don't know who the Watcher is.
Yeah.
To answer your question, because we never got to that, the inspector of the home did look into the walls. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in there. Literally no insulation in the walls. He said that you should worry that there's no insulation, but there's not
in bodies. Jersey. It gets cold up there.
Yeah. In July of 2019, they finally sold the house. They sold it for $959,000.
Nice.
They took a $400,000 loss. According to The Cut,
Of our houses.
Yeah. They had spent over $200,000 on the mortgage and the upkeep, plus all the private investigating, before they were able to rent it out. So really, they lost closer to $500,000, which no one's crying about here. There is also a movie unofficially based on the story called The Watcher, which came out in 2016.
That's the one I want to watch. What platform it is on?
You can rent it for $2 on Amazon.
I'm doing it.
So the Broaddus has tried to get them. They sent a cease and desist letter to them. Uh-huh. But the company was like, our movie's about an interracial couple, and you guys are both white. So full disclosure, I watched this movie last night at 1 o'clock in the morning. And it is an interracial couple, which is true. The one thing that bothered me about it, number one, they never call the person the Watcher. He calls himself the Raven. And all I could think about, first of all, he does not make a good Raven sound because he makes like a sound, not like a caw. Like our jerk, insert the caw sound there. But also the villain or whatever shows up in he's always like in the shadows, but he's wearing like a Raven-esque costume. Literally all I could think about was Moira in The Crows Have Eyes when she's like a scientist that's half crow.
Oh, you gotta love
Schitt's Creek. All I can think of. So please, when you watch it.
I'm watching it.
Watch it late at night and watch it with a glass of wine, because that's what I did. And that's all I have. I'm so sorry. We are at almost 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
But we have a lot to cut. We have the part where we, I don't know.
Sheldon has dinner waiting for me. I gotta go.
I also have dinner waiting for me.
I can smell your dinner.
Anyways, if you're interested, thecut.com is where I got most of this information. They never caught the Watcher. I don't know. Let us know what you think, because I still think it's just a prank. But I also like the idea of a housekeeper's child. Mm-hmm. So
I think that would make for a better movie.
It would. This movie actually doesn't follow the plot very much, and I didn't get the twist at the end, but I stopped paying attention because it was 2 a.m. at that point. So,
gotcha.
Anyways, if you're listening to this before 7 a.m.,
Follow, subscribe, giveaway,
find the giveaway, comment, tag 3 friends, and then get on our Instagram at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Watch our live giveaway. We're going to feel real dumb if there's no one watching the live. So please don't dissuade me from ever doing a live ever again. And again, sorry, this is super long. We love you guys for listening. And we will see you next week.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.